This is the Dear John Letters. It's the season finale, season one, episode five. 1 John 5, 1 through 3. And I will have a ton of different translations, so just bear with me. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. Hold up. That's so true. Right? If someone loves your kids, parents, anybody parents, if someone really genuinely loves your kids, don't you ask them, man, I like that guy. Right? Like, them. I love my kids. He loves my kids, generally loves my kids. God's like that, you know. That's how we are. This series has been this repeat button. Saying the same things over for five Sundays. I don't know if you noticed, five Sundays in a row, I'm preaching the same thing over and over. It's the letters, but there's these love letters of saying, this is what I want. It's what I expect from love. It's what I expect from you. We have a whole list of what we expect from him. He's like, I did really enough for you. I paid the ultimate price, so you don't have to stand in judgment. You can just get a pass in to my kingdom, and I forgive you from all unrighteousness. I've done enough. I'll keep loving you. But this letter is about how do you love me? He said, I want everything. I want everything, right? So it says, and everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Say, I heard that before. Right? How many times you heard that in this series, right? Come on, Pastor. We're moving on to red letters. That's next Sunday. We will be. Red letters season 4 or 5. I don't know what it is. Loving God. Loving God. How is your love game? Personally, like, not your spouses or your kids, right? Or your neighbors or the person 3 rows back. How's your love game? Like, how's your, analyze your love game, rate your love game, you know? How you doing? Does it need some stepping up? Say, I'm the church. I need to get the stepping, right? Loving God means keeping his commandments. And his commandments, to check this out. And his commandments, it says, are not burdensome. And at first when I hear that, I go, well. So, ever find a commandment that's not too easy for you? I got a couple, I probably, if I thought about it, you know, that's tougher than people think, you know. The rest of you, I guess, are not that way, but I have, you know. It says his commandments are not burdensome. But I began to ponder that this week, and this is kind of how I heard it. If you're begrudgingly giving out love, you're giving out love maybe to the place it's supposed to go, the person it's supposed to go to, but you're doing it with an attitude of, well, I'm doing it. Maybe you're not in love.
Come on now.
Ooh, maybe you're not in love. If your tune is always, I'm doing it. I'm obeying this commandment. Yeah, with people especially, right, Miss Hallie? Come on, that's tough. It says his commandments are not burdensome. Now I'm going to read it in the Amplified, just in case you didn't get it, you know. I'm going to get it again. Amplified. 1 John 5, 1 through 3. Everyone who believes with a deep, abiding trust in the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed, the born of God, that is reborn from above. I love that. That's the part we get this born again experience, right? You got to have this moment. I think it gets wildly and wackily abused. But you have to have a born again moment where you went, I didn't really know God meant everything he said. And then you have this, but he just proved it to me. And I don't know what to do next, but I need to start following him because I've been jacked up. I mean, that's a paraphrase. Right? There's that moment. Man, I'm a new guy. When I accepted Jesus the first time and I came up out of baptism, especially, I was like, I felt different. I go, wow, I'm a different dude. And then I had to start doing different things. And sometimes that was hard. So sometimes the commandments were burdensome to me. You know? Especially like, turn the other cheek. What hood was he raised in? No. Okay, do it. Dang, that's burdensome. I love a church of thugs. That is reborn from above, spiritually transformed. There has to be a transformation. You get like, I accepted Jesus, you know, in 1975, and I'm the same old pumpkin head I ever been. You may acknowledge who he was, but you didn't really accept who he was, you know. And don't tell it. We're going to be spiritually transformed. It's a process. God's still working on me. Ask Dr. Heidi. He is still working on me. Transformation is a process. There's not an end game. In Latin, it's called ad infinitum, which means forever. Ad infinitum, continuously. Renewed and set apart for what? His purpose. Renewed and set apart for his purpose. Why am I renewed and set apart? For his purpose. His purpose. I get all up in my purpose a lot. I got purposes. You know what I'm saying? I have plans. Yeah. Everyone who believes with a deep, abiding trust in the fact that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the anointed of God, that is reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose. And everyone who loves the Father also loves the child born of him. Okay? I love God. Then he's saying, then if you really love me, then you'll love Jesus. And that's where there's a big conflict sometimes with people. By this we know that we love the children of God. Expressing that love, write this down. You ready? Expressing that love. That should be the next slide, maybe. I don't know. Expressing that love. Here's two simple questions to ask yourself. Ready? These questions will change your life. And if you dare to begin to work on them, they'll transform you. Question number one. Are you expressing love to God the way he wants? Out of this series, like, don't take anything else out of this series but that number one. Are you giving him everything he wants from you? Or is it a one-sided relationship? Just, you know, when I'm in trouble, rescue me. Rescue me. That's most of the prayers, you know. It's an Aretha Franklin song or something. It's mostly like, wow. But are you giving him what he wants? And number two, how are you doing in expressing love to others the way they need it? How are you doing at that? And if in your head you go, well, I'll do it as soon as they do it. Miss the point. Why? This letter's for the church. Say, I am the church. So this letter's for me. And right, this letter's for me. It says, when we love God and obey his commandments, repetitive, for the true love of God is this, that we habitually keep. Say habitually. Habitually keep his commandments. And then I love this one, and remain focused. Anybody have focus issues? I got some focus issues sometimes. I lose focus on what's important before you know it. Yeah. I'm just relaxing, you know. How long you been relaxing? Oh, wow, look at the time. I've really been relaxing, you know. How's the chores doing? I've followed a bee through the desert, you know, I don't know. Remain focused. Remain focused on his precepts. Remain focused on his precepts and his commandments. And they're not difficult to obey. Man, being remain focused on the right things will keep you in the right order. If you remain focused on the right things, it'll keep you making from bad decisions. And bad decisions always have bad consequences. I haven't made a bad decision yet that had great consequences. Man, I wish I'd done that again. Never. Never. I wish I'd go, man, I should have listened to everyone. You know, that's typically what it'd been. The Amplified really kind of digs it in a little deeper, doesn't it? That's why we got to use it sometimes, to dig it in a little deeper. 1 John 5:4. 1 John 5:4. For everyone born of God is victorious and overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has conquered and overcome the world. It is what? What is the victory? So what's the victory's come? This is our continuing persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God. How's the victory sown in the earth? It's not because you maybe shouted at some prayer cramp meeting and some wall came down. That's a great victory. Or a victory of pregnancy. Great victory. But he said the victory is in me persistently continuing my faith in the Son of God, because I am the church. So if I continue being those things and pursuing those things, that's what he considers victory. Right? That's the process. 1 John 5:5-8 in the NLT this time. And who can win this battle against the world? Seems impossible, doesn't it? I stopped news watching a while ago. Doesn't mean I stopped praying. I just stopped watching the news. right? Because it looks like, wow, how's this going to work out? You know? Yeah, how's this going to work? Ever been in a situation, how's this going to work out? And then something God did, and you're like, man, I didn't see how you worked that out in a way I didn't expect, because I've been laying up all night trying to tell you things how you could do it. I gave you suggestions. I've been giving you suggestions for a week how you could fix someone. And you apparently have your own idea about it. You know, that's how he is. Who could win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's our quest, right? Not to just tell the world, but to show the world by our persistent faith and how we look as the church, imperfect as we are. You know, I always say I'm more like Peter than Jesus. Peter would have saw two Goombas, or Jesus would have saw two Goombas rolling up in here, and he would have been like, yeah, he'd open his arms like, I mean, come here, guys, you're running to hug me? That'd been Jesus. Peter's like, I got a sword, I'll take that one guy's ear right off. You know, what's going on? Thank you, Lord, for fixing my mess. Heal that, you know. Praise him. And Jesus Christ was revealed as the Son of God by his baptism in water and the shedding of his blood on the cross. Not by water only, but by water and blood. So funny that, like, we sing these songs. If I'm a non-believer and I come into some Christian worship, I'm like, why are they singing about blood, man? What's that all about? What's wrong with you? I'm honestly, when I first got saved, like, too many blood songs going on in here, you know? But then I realized what that meant. What that cleansed me, his sacrifice of his blood cleansed me. That made something to me. So I get it now, but I didn't then, right? It's by water and blood, and the Spirit, who is truth, confirms it with his testimony. So we have these three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and all three agree. There's historical proof. He's given proofs about Jesus was who he said he was. He did what he said he did, and he's still doing it. 1 John 5:9-12. I'm determined to get through this whole chapter so we can start a new series next week. Yeah. Since we believe human testimony, you could watch something on TikTok, some of you go, look at this. This is true. That shark is 400 feet long. And it did eat a Gibson liner. Like, no, man, that's CGI. No! No, it's on social media, and it must be true. They got 40,000 followers. I don't care, man. That shark is not that big. You know? Since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe the greater testimony that comes from God. And God has testified about who? About his Son. God's talked about his Son before he even sent him. He said in Isaiah, I'm going to be sending him. My boy's on the way. You know? Those who don't believe this are actually calling God a liar, because they don't believe what God has testified about his Son. And this is what God has testified. What has God said? He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So it's tough. It says, whoever has a son has life, and whoever does not have a son does not have life. It's really tough when you run into certain religious groups. And I love interaction interdenominationally and other. Like, I learned how to say in Islamic a couple things, because if I meet some dudes, I want to say some things. Right? So I love all that. But the problem is sometimes, as Christians, we are looked at as very narrow-minded. Well, there's only one way. Only one way. Who said that? Oh, God did. Trust me. I tried other ways. Tried a bunch of other ways. It didn't work out. I found the way, the truth, and the life, and he's been proving himself since then. Well, how do you know, man? You perfect? No. I fall down, I get up. I fall down, I get up. I go forward. And then sometimes Jesus lifts me up and carries me for no apparent reason. You know? This is the best deal you're ever going to get. We should take it. Yeah. It's the best deal you're ever going to get, right? Some of your deal shoppers ain't a better one than this. You got to take advantage of the opportunity to choose his love for the first time. Maybe you never choose love for the first time. Maybe some Christian did you dirty, you know? Or maybe you had false expectations. Or maybe you're just a meatloaf. I don't know. Maybe you have drifted. How about this? Maybe you used to be, but you drifted in your love for him. Like, you used to be in love and you just kind of drifted. Give me the beat, boy, to move my soul. I lost over here in some rock and roll and drifted away. Well, God can't even hear God anymore. You're the drifter. He ain't drifting. He's the same place he always been. But you drifted. Anybody ever drifted? Don't raise your mark. I knew it. Dude, Wendy, he's a really good guy. Trust me. It's okay. You know. The Dear John love letters are given to us by him so we can confidently know how to love him dearly. And that matters. Like, I wish the day I said I do to Dr. Heidi, I wish she came with a bunch of instructions. How I could have done it better. You know what I'm saying? I had to figure that crap out. You know, and then we got temperament certified, became professional marriage and family counselors. And I was like, yeah, that's why we get in so many arguments, because you're built that way and I'm built that way. Yeah. Got it. Super helpful, right? God gave us a whole breakdown of how to love him. He gave us a tag. It's like a cabbage patch dollar. Take care of it this way, you know? There it is. And our love's got to be proven and seen. You know, ever run into a really... I have my days. You can point your finger at me. Ever run into a Christian who seems mean and sad all the time? How you proven and how are you being seen? Well, I won't get into victim stuff. Let's just move on. First John, move on. That's the way you get in trouble, you know? Move on. First John 5:13 through 15. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you will know with settled and absolute knowledge, okay, settled, absolute knowledge, that you have eternal life. Like, you can be settled in it. If you really know him, if you accepted him, you don't have to worry about judgment. Worry about living. Worry about being an example. But don't worry about the end of the world. Kind of be worried if you haven't brought anybody with you. Right? Man, be a life preserver for somebody. Bring the life that you got and give it to somebody else. Not from yourself, but the life. It just said, you have the life, right? That is the remarkable degree of confidence that we have as believers and are entitled to have before him. That if we ask anything according to his will, if we ask anything according to his will, say according to his will. That's the key. Because, yeah, that's the key, is to get tripped up. Because usually, if you ask anything, God will give it to you. No, that's not what it says. You can ask any good thing. No, that's not what it says. Anything that would be world-changing and ultimately awesome for everyone. That's not what God says. He said, according to his will. That is asked consistent with his plan and his purpose. Asking consistent with his plan and his purpose. What happens then? He says he hears us. I hear you. And if we know that he hears us and listens to us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the request from which he asked of him. So that's rough. But I had it play out this week at my house. Or at Pastor Justin's house, actually. Ephraim, my grandson, is like a dog on a pork chop. If he wants something, he's going to ask for it until either he's in timeout or he gets it. That's just how he's built. I'm in 100%, you know. He is in. So he had asked his dad for something, and his dad was doing stuff. We were busy stuff. And it's like, dad, give me. He said, I will. But I'm in a conversation with Papa. When I'm done, I'll get it for you. But I will. Ephraim toddled off a little pouty. But then Justin did exactly what he said he would do for his son. And I thought, that's exactly God. If we just get in line with it, okay, Dad, what do you want? Yeah, but I thought this was better. I wanted to do this. You know, and I really would like this. And it seems good to everybody. Actually, I called four other brothers, and they're like, dude, that's awesome. I'll pray with you that you get that. But is that what you want? Hold on, son. That's not time for you now. I'll put you over here. And God's like that a lot with us with our prayer requests. Thank God I didn't get the things. Even it was his will. Things that his will for my life, I didn't get it in the timing I got it. Because I would have messed that junk up. Like, oh, man. Ruined a good thing. Ever ruin a good thing? Mark. I came to you. Okay, here we go. Thank you. Stuff to apply our love towards God,
right?
Here's some stuff we should apply towards our love towards God and others, if you're a note taker like Teacher Sue. Become dear to the one who loves us. Become dear to the one who loves us and do it consistently. You can apply that to God and to others. Knowing someone takes some quality and quality time, some quantity and quality. You got, right? You got to spend time with somebody. You can have a great first date, but if they're, you know, non-existent for the next 6 months, you're not going to be with them again. Right? Or I'm there every day. Yeah, like a, trying to think of an appropriate analogy, like a boil on my neck. You're there every day. I don't know. You're there every day consistently, but that don't mean you're loving. But I'm there. Quantity. It's all about quantity. I'm just there. No, it's not all about quantity, bro. It needs to be quantity and quality, right? Same with God. Every relationship to get deeper needs quantity and quality love. Can't avoid it. The third thing, God wants our love with our whole being. He wants every part of us, what we covered so far in these letters. I'm just recapping some stuff in the finale. And the fourth thing is that we should love others too. And that's always a little harder for me, right? We have what we ask for if we're in line with God's purpose. And if that's the case, what is John saying we should ask for? Because he follows it up with something that I never expected. He's like, ask according to his will and purpose. Okay, what, show me. 1 John 5:16-17, I love the message because it's shorter. For instance, like how do we do this? For instance, if we see a Christian believer sinning, clearly I'm not talking about those that make a practice of sin in the way that is fatal, leading to eternal death. He's like, when I talk about sinning, I'm not talking to people who have chosen, like, no, I don't care what God says, I'm doing this, but I still call myself a Christian, but it doesn't matter what God says about that at all. He said, I'm not talking to you guys. I'm talking to the church that's trying to grow and confessing their sins one to another, and they might be healed, and that you're coming to me, and you're progressively being transformed. He said, I don't want you to get confused. Last week, if anyone remembers, misrepresenting God is one thing that ticks him off the most. Misrepresenting God. Giving people the idea that it's God, but it's you, is part of blasphemy, and that leads to eternal death. We talked about that last episode. Like, he's more miffed about that than you falling in the sin that you did 2 days ago and going back up saying, Lord, help me with that again. I'm putting brownies in my life that doesn't happen, and please forgive me, cleanse me, wash me again. I love you. He's all over that. But if you're going around telling people God said stuff he never said, or if God's doing something, you're saying, that's not God. He said, that's where you're heading towards eternal death. That's the one thing I said, no, I'm not cleansing that. We ask for God's help, and he gladly gives it. Gives life to the sinner whose sin is not fatal. That's us. Thank you. There is such a thing as fatal sin. And I'm not urging you to pray about that. What? Yeah. You don't got to pray about, well, no. You should already know the answer to those things. Everything we do wrong is sin, but not all sin is fatal. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yeah. Like, that's me, right? Thank you, Lord. I want to encourage you, maybe it's good for you to search the sin topic. Your personal devotion time. Like, I don't know what to read personally. I'm just like, go read some. Go ask God. Examine my heart. What's in there? You know? If the church and every human did that, it never has to be preached. I love there's certain things I just go, read First Peter. Yeah. But yeah, because then we don't have to get into discussion. That's God just listed for you there, you know? Another translation overlap in the Amplified this time, 1 John 5:17-18, says this in the Amplified. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is a sin that does not lead to death. One can repent of it and be forgiven. Know that anyone born of God does not habitually sin, not make it their practice and their life purpose. But Jesus, who was born of God, carefully keeps and protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. Man, put that on a refrigerator magnet, you know? 1 John 5:18 through 21. We know that none of the God begotten, oh, it's overlap again. This is the message. Driving it home. We know that none of the God begotten makes a practice of fatal sin. The God begotten are also the God protected. The evil one can't lay a hand on them. There are so many times in my life I see, oh Lord, you spared me. Even when I didn't know him. I look around. She's not paying attention. I can start this message. There was one time at the University of Buffalo, I did not know God. And I was so strung out on drugs. I was on the 10th floor and we had no window covering, which was great because we had this thing called toilet paper art. You could let toilet paper out at high velocity all over the campus from our window. Anyways, I digress. So it was way up there, right? And I was so messed up. I remember looking out the window and I saw my buddy. And I go, I'm just going to step out. It'd be so much quicker. Why didn't I think of that before? I'll just step out. And it was real. I see it as real this minute as it was that minute. I'll just step out and boom, I'll be down there quicker. Like, almost like, duh, why'd I do this before? And then all of a sudden, I had to pee real bad. I mean, real bad. Like, oh my goodness, I got to pee. So I dip out of the window and the bathroom is near the elevator. So I go pee and I go, oh, the elevator's right here, man. Let's take the elevator down. Plus, don't you want a sandwich? Like, yeah, I do. I'm instantly hungry now, too. Seconds away from death. Only God. But I didn't even know him. How many times in my life on the highway, I go, oh. Okay, God, thank you. Angels, they're real. Right. The God begotten are also the God protected, and the evil one can't lay a hand on them. We know that we are held firm by God. It's the only people of the world who continue in the grip of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God came so we could recognize and understand the truth of God. I hear you, Jeff, right here, this part. What a gift. Why did he come in? So you can really see who God is.
Why?
Because it was being messed up again. People were involved and it gets messed up when we get involved. Right? He said, why'd I send Jesus? So you could recognize and understand me. My son gets me. He's actually me in the flesh. I put him on, you know, like a suit. And we are living in the truth itself in God's son, Jesus Christ. This Jesus is both the true God and real life. Dear children, say dear. Be on guard against all clever facsimiles, which means fakes. Be on guard against fakes, carbon copies. People spouting off scriptures aren't living it. People who are trying to manipulate. I should talk about finances more often than I do. We should do a money thing sometime. But in the history of almost 20 years, how many people have ever taught about money? Never. But I know some ministries that's what they talk about. That's the main focus. It comes in crafty ways, but it becomes a focus. Does God want to do things with our money? Yeah, it's his. But you can't be, don't manipulate the scriptures. Right? And so you see that. And he says, you got to be on guard against that kind of stuff. Well, I'm a prophet. I hear from God. Okay, I want to see you be tested and see the character of your life and what you say come to pass. So until you prophesy around here, I better know you a while. Well, I have a gift. Yeah. Trust me. If you give me a circular saw and Mark a circular saw, he's liable to build something great. I'm liable to cut your arm off. I don't know what I'm doing. But I have power. Yeah, you do. But if you know how to use it, you're going to cut people to shreds. So until you prove you know how to use it, zip it, Zippy. And listen. And be known. And let it be proven. So we have one more flake out in the world calling themselves pastor, prophet, evangelist, teacher, so-and-so. And for $19.95, you can get this thing I prayed over. Right. Be on guard. It's nonsense. But it also is a bad reflection on who the church is really supposed to be, and that's what makes me mad. Right? Be on guard, it says. Here's a little thing. Please search for God. Like, if you're not, please search for him. Search for God, but don't search for a God who's like you. Search for God, but don't search for a God who's like you. Don't search for a God who is culturally acceptable. But do consistently and humbly search for the truth. The true, authentic God. If all you want is truth and you're serious about it, you'll find it. It says those that seek the truth will find it. That's a promise. And I really, in my messed up state, I really want to know, did he exist? And is he who he says he was? And once I found that out, I'm all in. I'm like Ephraim, I'm all in. I'll go to the corner if I have to, but I'm in. You know? Search for what he loves. Dear John letters, 1 John 5:20 in the Amplified. And we have seen and known by personal experience. You got to have a personal experience. God's personal. Like at some point in time, it's got to be a personal relationship. Not a church attendance, not a doctrine, but a personal encounter, right? That the Son of God has actually come into this world and has given us understanding and insight so that we may progressively and personally know him who is true. Why did Jesus come? He said, I need you to know how I really look and how I really fact and what I really believe and what I really want you to know. And I'm going to live it out in front of you, and then I'm expecting you to be filled with my spirit and you go to the very same thing. It's the gospel in 4 seconds, you know. And we are in him who is true. We got in by Jesus. Thank you. Jesus Christ, this is the true God and the eternal life. 1 John 5:21. Little children, believers, say dear ones. This dear John letters are to the church, right? These aren't letters to people who don't know him. These are people who have sworn their life to serve God and love God. And so sometimes he's telling us in 5 straight letters, please love me first. Please love me first. Please make nothing more important than me. Please make nothing more important to me. And then when you're done with that, go love the people in your life the way I expect you to, right? Be dear. That's all I'm talking about. Dear ones. It says, dear ones, guard yourself from idols. Well, first thing we think of like Indiana Jones. I don't do that, man. I ain't bowing down to a golden statue. Can you name other idols? How about the number one people think of is money can be an idol. Reputation can be an idol. Relationship can be an idol. Work can be an idol. A sports team can be an idol. Don't touch my food. Food can be an idol. Dang. Calling me out, my youth pastor. Drama can be an idol. See, idols can pop into our lives, right? Trauma and drama. That's just, you know, I know God, but my trauma. But God, no, my trauma. No. Where's God in it? Is he first? Because he can fix the trauma. But are we guarding ourselves from idols? Idols are whatever or all the whatevers that are the wrong jacked up priority in our lives. If you're like, I don't have an idol, then this is the first thing you do. You go, check my priorities. Yeah. Is God first in everything, always? Last and first say, the first place I go about advice and I look to and I surrender to, is that happening in every area of my life? And if you're like, well, every area but this, they'll go, hey, that could be an idol. Like, ask him. Because we don't want those things. And they creep in, right? It says, guard yourselves. Why does it say guard yourself? Didn't he just say, I'll not let the wicked one touch you, the evil one? Yeah, he just said that. He said, guard yourself. Why? Because we have a part to play. We got to do our part. It talked about earlier, there's parts that we have to do. We got to guard ourselves from idols. So when you hear something that's false teaching, guard yourself. Turn it off. Like, no, man. No. How about this? Guard yourself from moral compromise. Well, God, if you just keep me from the club, cause my car to break down in Jesus' name. You got to do your part. You got to do your part. You got to guard yourself sometimes. Guard yourself from anything, it says. that would take God's place in your heart. If you're willing to say this with me, I will guard myself against anything that would try to take God's place. I will guard myself. Right. Here, so let's conclude the series with this thought. Man, I'm doing so good on time, you'd think it was church picnic day. The Dear John letters are to his beloved ones. And they remind us constantly that he wants to be loved in first place. Completely. He reminds us constantly he wants no other rival in the love given out. He desires we show proper love to others as proof of him. As proof of him. How we love others is proof to other people that God exists. We must love and guard ourselves too. We have a part to play, right? So here's our opportunity for the day. You ready? Do you need to recommit to make loving him your first priority? Now, this is not an emotional manipulation by a pastor to fill the front row and justify the message. I'm talking to some of us that maybe we drifted and rivals got in. I don't know. Or maybe you never really committed anything to him at all and you're feeling him tug on your heart. I'm talking to you. If you need prayer because he hasn't been priority, you are welcome to come up front and I'll pray for you. And if it's so many people, I'll grab one of the other billion pastors we have. Maybe you feel like, no, I've done that. I've committed to him. I've been loving him in right priority. But maybe you need to recommit to love the others he gave you. Maybe the reason you haven't recommitted because it's pride. Or maybe it's because I've been self-focused. Or maybe it's because another idol got in and God's place. And as soon as that idol gets in, it takes us off the other places too. You know, it can take us other places. So maybe you need to recommit to loving not just God, but I got some people I got to love better. And that's always the case. Kirsten and I are talking about that's always the case. We always got to tune our love. Maybe you're like, no, me and God are good. And I'm really loving everyone the best of my ability. But I'm not guarding myself very much these days. I'm slipping. I'm slip-sliding. And I used to guard myself, and now I don't really guard myself at all. And I'm just tired of getting punched in the mouth. Maybe that's you. If you need prayer for any of these things, the altar's open. And if you want to come, I'll pray. If you want to stand, I'll pray where you're at. You don't got to come forward. You can sit down, turn around, pick a bale of cotton. It don't matter to me. But I know recommitting to love is the greatest thing you can do. It means it matters to you. It means it matters. When you make a recommitment, it means it matters that I do better in my love world. It matters to me. And then God sees you make that stand and goes, okay, it matters to you because you embarrass yourself by standing and coming all the way up front. What are people going to think of you? Tough noogies is what I say. Too bad. I think it's courage. I think it's consistency desiring what God has. So Father, for us that are standing and not standing, wherever we're at, I ask that each and every one of these folks that took a stand, wherever they need to recommit, I don't know, you know, they know. It doesn't impact me, Father, it impacts them. And maybe there's idols they're trying to throw down today. I don't know. Maybe there's relationships they're trying to reprioritize. Maybe, Lord God, they've been such a dry place with you, they forgot how good you are. So, Lord, I pray for those who want to fall in love again and want to maintain love again. I thank you for your love letters that you gave us that we can be dear. And, Lord, I pray we become so dear to you this year. And help us become more dear to other people this year. And we'd look a whole lot like you so we could draw the world to you. So when they bite us, they taste you. So Lord, remove the idols in our life that keep us from looking like you, smelling like you, and tasting like you. And empower us, Holy Spirit, to live in you again on another whole level. You get the glory in our lives. You get the honor in our lives. You get the praise in our lives. You get the recognition in our lives. Lord God, we are focused again on the one that loves us. And be glorified with the lives that go out of here today. That new season will be a great representation of who you are today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.